Hey, thank you very much, Jim. I'm very excited about AEW Redemption on pay-per-view this Sunday. I think it's going to be a great wrestling weekend. And AEW, I believe, is having a tremendous year on pay-per-view and on TV in 2026. I'm excited to hear your questions and answer them and talk to you today. And hopefully, I'll get to answer all the questions today. But if there's anybody that does not get to answer a question or does not get their question answered today, I will be around after the AEW Redemption pay-per-view for the scrum, and I'll stay as long as possible to answer every single question to make sure everybody who comes to the pay-per-view gets to ask a question. And now we can start with the answering now. Jim, if you're ready to start fielding the questions.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, so we're going to start with Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. And then on deck will be Brian Zylum from PW Torch. So, Jason, if you're ready to go, we're ready for you. Let me know.
I am. Can you hear me?
We sure
Hey,
can.
yeah.
Excellent. All right, Tony, Redemption is starting an hour earlier than your other pay-per-views. Are you planning to make this the new norm, or is this maybe more about the public transportation shutdown time in Montreal? I'm just kind of curious where things are going.
I wanted to try this. I thought it would be a good idea for the start time of this pay-per-view. For the next pay-per-view, the start time will be earlier because it'll be taking place from the UK. Our next pay-per-view after Redemption is AEW All in London. So, trying some different things. And I thought it would be a very good thing to experiment with to try an earlier start time. And it's similar to the previous start time. It's an hour earlier, but still a night pay-per-view. And I think there's a lot of fans really excited about this event. I know I'm really excited about it, and should be a great pay-per-view. I wanted to start it an hour earlier and see how that works. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Jason. Brian Zylum from PW Torch is next. Brian will be followed by Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer. Brian.
Tony, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, hi, Brian.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for the time. And Tony, going
Sure.
into the Redemption pay-per-view this Sunday, couldn't notice, but one of the AEW's biggest stars is currently not scheduled to compete on the show, and that's Swerve Strickland. Can you share any updates on his status and when fans can expect to see him back on AEW programming? Thanks.
Well, that's a great question. I'm going to be with Swerve at the Comic-Con this weekend, and I'm really looking forward to that. And Swerve has been out of action since his last match and has been working on some things outside of wrestling. He's in very good standing with AEW, and I'd be happy to answer more about it after AEW Redemption, but we'll see Swerve certainly as part of the San Diego Comic-Con tomorrow. And as far as when you'll see Swerve next on AEW TV, stay tuned. And as I said, I'll be answering questions after the pay-per-view too, so I can follow up with you then. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Brian. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer is next, and Dave will be followed by Samantha Shipman from Power Bombshells. Dave?
Hey, Dave. Dave, we can't hear you. Jim, do we have
Okay.
Dave on mute?
No, he might be having an issue, so I've sent him the request.
Okay. Well,
So
we can
let's go ahead
take
and
the
try
next one and
Samantha.
come back.
Yep.
Yeah, how about Samantha? Are
Great.
you ready to go?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, hi.
Okay, great. Hi. I have a question that I've seen a topic that's kind of come up a lot on social media, and then it was actually a situation that I came into contact with in a real life situation a couple of weeks ago when I attended the G1, and that's actually about AEW Hills. I noticed that there have been conversation about it being on hiatus, and I ran into someone who thought I was a Hills member when she heard me, she overheard me taking photos. And so that's because topic that's come up. Can you shed any light on when AW Hills may return or any type of information that you can provide for their subscribers?
That's it's a good question. AW Hills started years ago as a great project for the female wrestling fans. I have not been an active participant in Heels, and I'm not sure. That's a good question. I'll have to ask some people on the business side. There's so many things happening in AEW wrestling right now and in the world of professional wrestling. So I'm not sure. I wouldn't want to give the wrong answer. So I'd have to check and get back to you, but maybe I'd have more information after the pay-per-view. I just don't have it in front of me right now. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Samantha. We're going to try Dave Meltzer again, and on the on-deck circle will be Sean Radican from PWTorch.com. Dave, we're going to give you another try. Are you there?
No, I think Dave's having some.
Okay. Well, let's keep Dave in the queue here. But how about Sean Radican? Are you there, Sean?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. How are you, man?
I'm good. Redemption is coming before All In London next month, which is a very big pay-per-view for you. You already have a big match promoted for it, a big main event. I wanted to ask you, with Redemption kind of pop, I don't know how last minute it was for you, but with Redemption popping up on the schedule just recently and with All In around the corner, how difficult has it for you to juggle promoting this Redemption card and with All In right around the corner in the UK next month?
Well, I think it's been additive. Right now, we're in a very strong period. The AEW TV viewership in recent weeks is the highest that it's been in years on TBS. And when you add in that years ago, we had no streaming viewers, we did not have the HBO Max agreement yet. And now we have those viewers in addition to our TBS TV viewers. So I believe this is the most fans watching AEW in many, many years and one of the greatest periods for AEW TV viewership ever. And it feels like a very hot time. And I think it's been very additive to have the immediacy of important matches and rivalries going into AEW Redemption. And AEW Redemption is going to be a very important show on the path to AEW All In. And I think, when the facts come out after the pay-per-view, this is going to be a tremendous pay-per-view and a very important show to watch on the way to AEW All In London. And I expect we'll continue the run of tremendous AEW pay-per-views on our way to what will be one of our biggest events ever, All In London next month. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Sean. We're going to circle back with Dave Meltzer to see if Dave's there. And behind Dave will be Andrew Badala from Final Bell Media. Dave?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Dave.
Oh, great, great. Okay. I know that there seems to be a number of people who are suddenly free agents that are on the market, and I'm wondering if some of these names intrigue you or not, but also just the update, if there's any update on the status of Sammy Guevara or Anna Jay and Ty Mello.
Oh, sure. Well, I'll do those in, is that okay? Okay, maybe I'll start in reverse order. Sammy, I thought it was unusual that people said there was a change in Sammy's status because nothing had changed. Sammy's done well. He's wrestling in Ring of Honor more often. He's done some good things in AEW. And as one half of the ROH World Tag Team Champions had appeared in AEW with LFI. And it wasn't Sammy's fault. Beast Mordos' visa had been jammed up for a very long time. So because I really like Sammy and Beast Mordos, I had gone to CMLL and said they're great champions and they've done very well for me. I think they'd be very good for CMLL. And they got booked in Arena Mexico defending the championships, made a few defenses, and then lost the championships to Máscara Dorada and Mystico. As I understand it, when Sammy changed his bio, I don't think Sammy ever had AEW in the bio in the first place. So I don't think it was any negative change. And I got a nice message from Sammy saying he wasn't trying to do anything bad and he loves AEW. And I believe that. And Sammy has been a good wrestler for us in AEW and ROH. He's a great talent and a very good person. So I don't think he meant to do anything. And it seemed like people jumped on him for something he didn't even do. Certainly just messing around with a Twitter bio. It's pretty amazing how people would jump to conclusions, but also jump on him. And in my opinion, in this case, probably unfairly. And that would bring me to some other things. Anna Jay and Ty, as individual people and as a team, they've been great as a team and as individuals. They've both been here for many, many years. And the status, I would say, is very different on both. I saw a lot of things on both of them being reported that were very inaccurate. Anna is in very good standing with us. Anna's out injured right now. I had been hoping to book Anna in recent weeks on shows, and she has an injury. And last week she was going for an MRI. But Anna is somebody who also is in good standing with AEW and also has a lot of time left and has extended their contract with AEW. So in her case also, it's somebody that I see a lot of reporting about that is inaccurate. And rather that, you know, I have a lot of work and I don't think that's a secret. And I am not spending all my time myth busting. And a lot of times these myths get carried away. So Anna's actually extended and is going to be staying in AEW, which is far to the contrary of what a lot of the wrestling media has reported, which probably speaks to the accuracy of a lot of these reports that you see in pro wrestling. And then with Ty, also a lot of inaccurate things I saw about Ty. And to be honest, there in this case, there was smoke to the fire, but the people were reporting the fire in the wrong place. So what does that really accomplish? And with Ty had said she wanted to step away from wrestling. She had said, I love AEW and I love the people here, but I wanted to step away from AEW and step away from wrestling. And that's what she told me. That wasn't in 2025. That was weeks ago at Collision after she wrestled against the Divine Dominion. And she came to me after the match and said, I would like the release. And I was taken aback. And we had a very nice talk. It's far to the contrary of what I've seen reported about this being last year or that it's been an ongoing thing. And I heard from Ty this week and she said she's not putting those reports out and it really bothered her. And, you know, we haven't had an unpleasant conversation ever. I've always had a very good relationship with Ty. And she has asked about stepping away recently. Hasn't been a long thing. And also I haven't kept her here. Since that talk, I haven't brought her back, booked her, and I am going to give Ty that release. I think it's amazing. In all three of these cases, Dave, I've seen a lot of things that were inaccurate, and all three of them are pretty different from each other. And here's the thing. AEW is doing some of our best work right now. We're having our biggest viewership for our TV in years. And as the mainstream media and as major media conglomerations are taking notice of how strong AEW's performance is, how good the viewership is, and how hot the company is, and the pay-per-views are doing so well since going to HBO Max, and the quality of the product is very high, yet every time we get like we're in a very good position, it feels like people start talking about things. And a lot of times, not only do they bring up conversations completely beside the point of how well AEW is doing, which is fine because there's a lot of things to talk about, but it's amazing how often the things that are being reported are either exaggerated or completely inaccurate or made up. But that is the truth on all three of those. Then you asked me about the free agents. There are a lot of great free agents in wrestling, and particularly right now, there's a lot of people coming out of contract. It's no secret that a lot of very talented wrestlers were released recently from their contracts, and it has put more people on the market, absolutely. And it's something that I am keeping an eye on because I'm very cognizant that there's a lot of really talented people that just got fired or cut or released. And I am keeping an eye on that. So it's certainly a very interesting time in pro wrestling and an exciting time for AEW. Again, I'm so thrilled about how strong the viewership has been and very, very excited about AEW Redemption and about the road to AEW All In, because I think that there's going to be an incredible event there, and I think it'll be a massive success for AEW. And I appreciate you asking. It's certainly a big summer for AEW and for wrestling, and right now it feels like the best period for AEW in many years, and I would say arguably the best period for AEW ever, or one of the two best periods for AEW ever, and certainly I would say this is the best in at least 5 years, if not ever, that AEW's been doing. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Andrew Baidala from Final Bell Media is next, to be followed by Aditya Rao from ITR Wrestling.
Tony, Andrew, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Hope you are well. With AEW Redemption being this Sunday, and with all the recent discussions circulating on TV and social media about Kenny Omega, your world champion's in-ring career potentially winding down, I'm curious about your thoughts. You and your team are very well known for being purposeful in your decisions, especially when your commentators say something on your television programmings, and considering Kenny's walking into Canada and Montreal as your world champion, and he also may be headlining Wembley Stadium. Can you shed some light on whether these significant events are part of checking boxes for a potential conclusion to Kenny's career?
Can you, I'm sorry, I might have misunderstood the question. Can you ask from the beginning that same question again, just to make sure I understand it before I answer it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Basically, with all the recent discussions circulating on TV and social media about Kenny Omega's in-ring career potentially winding down, and I know your team and you are very purposeful in your decisions on what gets on television and what the announcers say, and Kenny's walking into Canada and Montreal as your world champion, and he also may be headlining Wembley Stadium as the world champion, can you shed some light on whether or not these significant events are part of some boxes that Kenny's checking for a potential conclusion to his career?
I appreciate you asking that. I think that Kenny is in phenomenal condition, and Kenny's excellence and his endurance are a miracle, because what he went through was a medical emergency, and it's something that had the potential to end his career and potentially end his life. So for Kenny to be at the top of the profession, to be the greatest wrestler in the sport and still on top, it's very special. And I think all of us are very happy about it, but we're also celebrating Kenny being at the top and appreciating it, savoring it, because there was a time when we were concerned Kenny might not be able to get back in the ring. And honestly, we were much more worried about what was going to happen. So I think outside of the ring, there were concerns about Kenny's well-being that far outweighed the sporting aspect of it. But it's so exciting that he's survived and thrived, and that he has made this incredible comeback. And in sports, we love comebacks, and in pro wrestling, it's so special when somebody can overcome significant adversity to rise back to the top of the sport. And in Kenny's case, he's one of, in my personal opinion, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, and somebody that I looked up to and admired long before I worked with him in AEW as one of the most important figures in this sport. And to have Kenny back on top as the AEW world champion now in 2026, it's so special for so many reasons. And I think all of us in AEW are savoring it very much and looking forward to Kenny Omega defending the AEW World Championship this Sunday in his home country at AEW Redemption, which is something very special for all of us. And it marks a big milestone. And the wrestler he's facing is somebody in a very different point in his career, a rising star, who continues to develop, yet his potential is seemingly limitless. And the way he ended was certainly an incredible exclamation point on the go home Dynamite before AEW Redemption for Kevin Knight to fly in literally from off screen with one of the most athletic dives over the top rope and knock Kenny down and then hold up both the championship belts, the TNT title and Kenny Omega's AEW World Championship belt, symbolizing that Kevin Knight, the Jet, believes he can become the double champion and become the AEW World Champion at AEW Redemption. It's a very exciting match for many reasons. And in the case of Kenny Omega, everything Kenny Omega does in wrestling is very special because we were all worried we might not see him back in wrestling and frankly worried we would not see him at all. So I think it's a very happy occasion for us. Thank you for asking about it.
Thank you, Andrew. Aditya Rao from ITR Wrestling is next, to be followed by Amy Nemedy from WrestleJoy. Aditya. Aditya, are you there?
Hey, he's unmuted, but I don't think he can.
Okay, we'll keep him in the queue. Amy, are you there?
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you? So I was going to ask you about Kevin Knight and Kenny Omega, but instead I'm going to pivot to the AEW Women's World Championship with Tekla and Willow Nightingale. So Tekla has very quickly become one of the most dominant AEW champions, not only feuding with the women of AEW, but also taking on the entire company of Stardom in Japan. She just returned this week, holding new gold with the Triangle of Madness with the Artist of Stardom Championship. And Willow is one of the most beloved women in pro wrestling, having just returned from an injury, immediately going on to win the Casino Gauntlet, now earning this title shot against Tekla at Redemption. Can you talk about the dynamics of both of these women, what they bring to the championship, and your expectations heading into this match? Thank you.
Well, they're both great champions. Both have been great champions in AEW and around the world. Both international stars. And in Tekla's case, she's come into AEW and risen to the top very quickly. Willow is somebody that's been here for many, many years working her way up, and it has not been the rapid ascent of Tekla. Willow has continued to work her way up the card and become a great champion. And while Tekla has broken into AEW and won the AEW World Championship very quickly, all things considered, since she arrived in All Elite Wrestling, Willow has been with us since the pandemic Daily's Place era of AEW and worked her way into prominent positions on the cards. She's become the TBS champion and a world tag team champion, but she's never been the world champion of AEW. And I do think that Willow is somebody who represents some of the very best of AEW. And I do think that Tekla is somebody who also has come into AEW and represents how tremendous the growth and the building of AEW has been throughout the past few years to get to the point we're at in the present day, where today AEW's in the strongest position in many years, possibly our strongest position ever, with the brightest outlook for the future in AEW's seven-year history being right now, and having great stars come in and having these free agents in the world title picture and becoming champions, free agents that have been here just since last year, like the TNT champion Kevin Knight wrestling for the world title and like the women's world champion Tekla. That has been very important to AEW and has helped keep strong, because we have so many great wrestlers that have been here throughout the different times, people that have been here from the very beginning, from the very first show, Double or Nothing 2019, and people that arrived in that first year, people that came in through the pandemic era. And then throughout the years, we've added more and more stars. And this crop that came in last year, they've done a fantastic job. And when you watch AEW Redemption, they're all over the card in important positions and mixing it up with great stars that have been in AEW in many cases from the very beginning, some of the original top AEW stars. And I'm very excited about that. And throughout the card, I think there's a lot of very exciting matchups. And again, I believe this will be a very important show as a pay-per-view to continue the run of excellent AEW pay-per-view events, but also as an event leading into AEW All in London as the pay-per-view that precedes AEW All in London. This is a very important show, and I think it's going to be excellent.
Thank you, Amy. We're going to try Aditya Rao again from ITR Wrestling to be followed by Dominic D'Angelo from StudioOneSports.com. We're going to try Aditya. Are you there? There you are.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Tony.
Hey.
I hope you're having a great day. Really looking forward to the show. Talking about the show, the AEW Redemption card is having a MJF-sized gap in the match card. So just want some clarity if this time off of his was planned, or you know, if you could just give us more clarity why he's not on the show. Thank you.
Well, thank you. MJF was in a very hard-hitting match with Kenny Omega, was in some very hard-hitting matches, and has been an incredible fighting champion in 2026, doing something very different than in his previous time as the champion before 2026. MJF's been out on TV, on pay-per-view, even on house shows, fighting in big matches. And MJF is not a nice guy. He's not a nice person, but he's a great wrestler. And we love having him as a part of AEW when he's healthy and fit to compete. He's definitely been through a lot of big matches. That's what's tremendous about having such a strong roster of wrestlers, being able to not have to pressure them, because we want to extend these wrestlers' careers. And in the case of an MJF, that's somebody that I hope is wrestling for decades and decades at a very top level. He's a very young man, and he's had some major injuries this year that he's been fighting through, as a credit to him. And I think it speaks highly of MJF. And I would not be the person out here praising and saying all the nice stuff if it wasn't true. So in MJF's case, I absolutely think he's been one of the great things about AEW in 2026. And I'm looking forward to MJF's return to AEW when he's back, which he will be back very soon, I'm sure. And I'm grateful that the injuries he sustained are nothing that would keep him out really, really long term, because as you know, there are other times in the sport, contrary to this, where people have injuries and they can alter careers sometimes. So I'm glad he's going to be okay, because he's a very important wrestler in AEW MJF. Whereas there, we've had other great stars that have had injuries that have kept them out in some cases years or indefinitely. This is nothing that bad. And he was definitely banged up, and he had some very hard hitting matches. Of course, a classic championship match with Kenny Omega, winning the world title at AEW Beach Break, one of the greatest episodes of AEW Dynamite ever. And I think one of the greatest AEW shows on TV or pay-per-view period was AEW Beach Break. And Kenny Omega versus MJF was a very special match. But MJF's had a lot of hard hitting championship fights this year. And when you look back, matches like the ones with Mark Briscoe and Roosh and, of course, Darby Allin, these are very hard-hitting fights. So with MJF, I look forward to his return. Thank you for asking.
Thank you. Dominic D'Angelo from StudioOneSports.com is next, to be followed by Vivek Sharma from Sports Keto Wrestling. Dominic.
Hey, Tony, can you hear me okay?
I hear you great.
Hey, rock on, rock on. Cool. Well, looking forward to Redemption this weekend. I kind of did want to follow up with Kevin Knight. I just you know, he's so new to the company, relatively new, and, you know, with the TNT title run, obviously. What gave you the confidence to kind of put him in this main event position so soon? I do see, like, from an in-ring talent, obviously, he's amazing, but I do see him developing and growing as a promo as well. But how much confidence do you have in him moving forward as one of the top stars for AEW?
I have a lot of confidence in Kevin Knight as one of the top stars going forward in AEW. I really believe in the Jet, and I think he's a tremendous athlete. And he absolutely has had a very quick rise to become a multiple-time World Trios champion and now the TNT champion and potentially, within days, the AEW World Champion. It is a very quick rise, but again, it's not unprecedented to have somebody come in as a free agent and rise very quickly, as we've seen in the case of Tekla. I signed Tekla and Kevin Knight very close to each other, within, I would think, about a week of each other, in fact. And to see Tekla's rise to prominence to be a world champion and see Kevin Knight become a multiple-time World Trio champion, the TNT champion, and now potentially the world champion himself at AEW Redemption this Sunday, it shows that when we sign great free agents, they have the potential to come here to AEW and rise to the very top of the card, to be in the main event matches, to fight for the world title, and possibly become the AEW world champion for all the great women and men free agents. Considering AEW, I think these are great examples on AEW Redemption that there's a path to prominence here on the big pay-per-views and in top championship fights. If you come into AEW, that there are great challengers and champions here that are willing to fight you. And if you work hard, you could work yourself into a very prominent position as a free agent, even within your second year, in the case of Kevin Knight and Tekla, both in these big world championship fights. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dominic. Vivek Sharma from Sports Key to Wrestling is next, to be followed by Sulian Khan from Slam Wrestling. Vivek, you're up.
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
I hear you great.
I hope you're doing well. I'm very excited to watch Redemption this weekend.
Me too. I hope you're doing well. I really appreciate that. I feel the same way as you. I hope that you're doing well, and I'm also very excited to watch AEW Redemption this weekend. So we're on the same page.
Tony, I wanted to ask you about Hangman Page. We have not seen Hangman since his sudden return on Collision. With All In approaching, can you tell us something about his status?
Well, I think we'll see Hangman again very soon. You know, we saw Hangman 2 weeks ago on Collision. This past week on Collision, they referenced it during some of the championship fights and the big stakes on Collision. You know, we saw Hangman on the show last week. When's he going to be back? And I would expect him to be back soon. He had a great interview and really set the stakes for his return, which feels imminent to the ring, that he's going to be chasing championships. He is going to be a man of his word, that he said if he didn't regain the championship from MJF, that Hangman would not challenge for that world championship again. And it seems that Hangman is absolutely going to live up to his word, because he has told me and has also publicly told all of you he plans to come back to AEW very soon and to be in line to challenge for the other championships. He's been a world champion. And in fact, Kenny Omega and Hangman Page are the only wrestlers in AEW ever to hold the AEW World title, the AEW World Tag Team Championship, and the World Trios Championship. Fittingly, they actually held the World Tag Team Championship together, famously. And Hangman has been a multiple-time world champion, and I believe any title he sets his sights on, he has the ability and the talent and the mindset and strength mentally and physically to win. And he said that he's going to be targeting these championships. So we saw Hangman back a week ago on Collision. And then this past week, we heard it referenced. And I would say we should be watching out. I would expect to see Hangman back very soon to get back in the ring and follow up on what he said, because he is a man of his word. And he said he's coming back soon to chase these championships. So I would say stay tuned. You know, it hasn't really been that long, has it? Thanks.
Thank you, Vivek. Sulian Khan from Slam Wrestling is next, to be followed by Michael Morales Torres from Lucha Libre Online. Sulian. Sulian?
Sully, can you unmute?
Yeah, sorry about that. My internet just popped out for a second there.
That's okay.
So I just wanted to ask about Will Ospreay and John Moxley in the tag team. The match against the Young Bucks this Sunday, it's giving me vibes of last year when we saw Swerve and Will Ospreay tag against the Young Bucks. What sort of parallels do you see between the two situations right now from this time last year and this match on Sunday?
Well, the Young Bucks are very different people than they were at that time. And I would know because I've been somebody that has been a victim of what the Young Bucks had become a few years ago. And particularly last year was really the culmination of the abuse of the Young Bucks' power. And that was the end of their run as the executive vice presidents of AEW, even though they are very important and they are still founding fathers of the company. And the truth is, now more than ever, they fit that vibe. I think the Young Bucks have really gone back to their roots. They're quite possibly the greatest tag team I've ever seen. I think that they are two of the best people I've known, and that's what made it so hard to be attacked by Matt and Nick and beat up by Matt and Nick. It's not something I ever would have expected. I never really would have thought Matt and Nick were capable of hurting me, and now I really believe that they are back to being who they were at the very beginning of AEW, which is they're at their very best. They're wrestling so hard. They're fantastic people, and they're focusing on the fans and the wrestling in the ring. And they're in a very different place than they were a year ago. And frankly, so is Will Ospreay, because he's found himself mixed up with the Death Riders. And we saw where the Death Riders were at AEW All In Texas. And they've taken a very different trajectory. The Death Riders. It's a very interesting story to follow. It's very unique, and there's nobody quite like the Death Riders in the world of professional wrestling. And their leader, John Moxley, is one of the most brutal people, yet also, in my own opinion, somebody that I think is incredibly prolific and highly intelligent and has a brilliant mind for strategizing professional wrestling and has architected his own rise to the top numerous times. And he has so many talented people surrounding him as part of the Death Riders. And now he has acquired maybe the greatest wrestling prospect, maybe the greatest wrestler to never be the world champion, Will Ospreay. And he's acquired him for the Death Riders at a very interesting time because we're going into AEW All In London. We know Will Ospreay is going to be challenging for the world title, whether it's the Jet Kevin Knight or Kenny Omega as it stands now. And of course, there's a lot of history between John Moxley and Kenny Omega. That's really one of the very first rivalries in AEW, dating back to the beginning of the company, the original Double or Nothing. That's how we ended. And John Moxley standing on the poker chips at the end of the very first AEW event with Kenny Omega down, leading to their lights out match on the very first Full Gear, and a rivalry that has continued and changed. And it did lead to the end of Kenny Omega's when I talk about how the Young Bucks and how they've changed, Kenny went through some changes himself, and Kenny has really come back to being the kind of Kenny and the kind of person that I wanted in AEW, and a person I'm really proud to work with. And he's still an executive vice president backstage and a huge part of the company. And, you know, it was the John Moxley Kenny Omega rivalry that took the championship from John Moxley in his first reign, started Kenny's first reign, but also started Kenny down a very dark path with Don Callis, a path that now Kenny sees Kevin Knight taking. And it's a path that led Kenny to success. But now to see Kenny be the world champion on his own, doing it on his own, of his own merit, it's very special. And I know the Young Bucks feel that way too. And there have been times, even in the past few weeks, particularly in the past few weeks, where I know Matt and Nick are concerned about what's happening with Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay. What is this going to lead to? Because nobody knows Kenny Omega better than Matt and Nick. And I think Matt and Nick may still deep down hold some grudge against Will Ospreay for what happened last year at AEW All In Texas, that incredible tag match that led to the end of the Young Bucks' tenure as executive vice presidents, but also led to their own road to redemption. And in some ways, I think Matt and Nick know that was the best thing that could have happened to them, but it led to a real struggle, tough times. I know they were in a hard place for them and their family trying to make ends meet. And I'm very glad everything's worked out. Matt and Nick and I are all three of us Christian people, and we all believe in forgiveness. And I'd like to think all have forgiven each other for everything that's gone on. But also, I think with Matt and Nick, in some ways, they probably know that what happened with Will Ospreay and Swerve last year at AEW All In Texas, them losing the EVP title, in some ways was probably the best thing that could have happened to them as wrestlers. And they've gotten back to doing what they do, which is some of the greatest tag team wrestling ever. And I'm very excited for this match because the Young Bucks have said they're focused on regaining the tag team championship and going after whoever wins the match between Cope and Christian versus Pac and Claudio Castagnoli, two of the very top wrestlers in AEW, two men who've been champions in AEW multiple times, and two of the leaders of the Death Riders. And there are so many exciting, interesting things happening as we go into AEW Redemption right now. And the Young Bucks do have their eyes on the tag team championship, but they're also looking very closely at what's happening around Kenny Omega. He's going into this big match with Kevin Knight, but also if Kenny can survive the Jet Kevin Knight, if Kenny can retain the championship in his home country this Sunday at AEW Redemption, I know that the Young Bucks see what could be out there potentially with the Death Riders. Of course, the Young Bucks have a lot of history with Jon Moxley as well. It goes back many, many years in AEW and some great matches. You mentioned Young Bucks versus Will Ospreay and Swerve, which was a fantastic match at AEW All In Texas. And I also think that Young Bucks versus Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston at AEW Double or Nothing 2021 was an incredible tag team match on another great wrestling show. So I'm really looking forward to the inaugural AEW Redemption. And one of the matches I'm really looking forward to in tag team wrestling has the Young Bucks versus Jon Moxley and Will Ospreay, who have formed a very interesting team. And while they have been teaming not nearly as long as Matt and Nick, to say the least, Will Ospreay and Jon Moxley seem to be a very deadly tag team as the Death Riders. And I think this is going to be an incredible tag team match. And I'm very excited to see how this all develops, because there's a lot of interesting rivalries, friendships, a lot of mistrust, and very interesting personalities and things happening in AEW right now as we go into AEW Redemption this Sunday. Thanks for asking.
Thank you very much. We got Michael Morales Torres from Lucha Libre Online is next, to be followed by a write-in question from Bill Bodkin at the Pop Break. So, Michael, you're up.
Yes, sir. Tony, how are you doing today?
I'm very well. How are you?
All good, man. Thank you very much for asking, sir. So your family has built a unique sports and entertainment portfolio with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Fulham, and now AEW. The FIFA World Cup obviously had a massive impact in the U.S. and its culture, and elevated what the U.S. calls soccer and its profile along the whole country. Fulham itself is in a great state as a club. Obviously, now Alvaro Arbeloa joins the team. You guys had massive pieces like Kevin, Oscar Bob, Josh King, Kenny Tete, among many, many other outstanding players. AEW
is great,
is,
by the way. This
working
is fantastic. I love this.
Yeah, and AEW is as well looking to expand its growth in different markets, and so is AEW. Can we expect more collaboration between both brands, both clubs? I mean, Fulham and AEW, and as well, how key is AEW to Fulham's growth in the U.S. and vice versa? How key or important is Fulham's presence in the U.K. For AEW's growth? And thank you for your time, sir.
What a fascinating question. And you brought up things that in 7 years of AEW media, nobody's brought up. And I think that's just tremendous. So first of all, when you started listing some of the great Fulham players. You got me very excited because if football season is approaching, and I love talking about football. I love England, and I have loved living in London and being a part of English football through the incredible Fulham Football Club, London's original club. And my father has built something around what is a historic legendary structure, a historic legendary place, Craven Cottage in London. And he has put Fulham Pier on the map. And this is a project my father has believed in for over a decade and worked on for many, many years to get Fulham Pier, which is not just the match days. 365 days a year, the pier's open, and it is right on the Thames, and it is a really beautiful place, and I think there are opportunities utilizing the real estate. There are so many AEW fans throughout England. I think there are going to be opportunities for partnerships and activations. Already, AEW is a sponsor of Fulham, supporting the football. I never want the wrestling to affect the football in any way, because the tradition and the purity of the sport of English football throughout the country is so important and it's so strong. The bond the fans have with the sport is unlike anything I've seen anywhere, and to be a part of it and experience it, it's one of the great thrills of my life. And I do think outside the pitch, off the football matches, and more looking at the Fulham Pier side of it, I think there are opportunities for activations that would not affect the football in any way to utilize Fulham Pier, which, again, not on match days, is open year round. So the AEW fans are always welcome there. And we're looking to do more activations because this is a new development. There's nothing like it in London. And it's something my dad has believed in, to build something really special here, to build the best restaurants and the best pubs, and put this great place for people to go. And it, of course, it's at its most packed and vibrant on a match day, yet there are many packed and vibrant days there year round. You know, we have events, people book it for weddings, holiday parties. And we have the staff Christmas party there, but people book it for outside events. And I think AEW could be involved with it. There are so many great wrestling fans in the UK, and there's so many great football fans in the UK. And there is some crossover between the two, but it's also important to respect them and keep them separate from each other while still trying to leverage the opportunity. So that's part of AEW becoming a sponsor. You see the AEW logo in the corner at Fulham matches at Craven Cottage year round, but also AEW sponsors the Fulham women's team. And you'll see AEW on the women's shirts for the Fulham women's team, which I think has been a great collaboration also. And you can buy those shirts, and that's kind of a neat partnership between Fulham and AEW that I like. So there are a lot of opportunities for those things, but also I want Fulham to thrive as a football club and do well on the pitch. And you talked very eloquently about our new coach. I'm really thrilled about Alvaro being here. And I think we do have a great group of players, and certainly we'll continue to add and develop and build. And it is a great opportunity for the club to collaborate with AEW and for AEW to collaborate with Fulham. It benefits both sides, and also for the fans of either of them, I want them to enjoy the experience and not have it interfere with that. But also for the fans of both, it's a unique thing to embrace. And I appreciate you bringing it up. Certainly, it's the first time, I think, on this call that I've ever heard, obviously, Alvaro's name, but also Josh and Kenny, Oscar and Kevin, and all the great players you named. So thank you for that, too. I think those guys are great. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Michael. That was wonderful. I have a write-in here, Tony. After the write-in, we're going to go to John Alba from the Takedown on SI.
Okay.
But first, let's hear from Bill. Have you considered doing a Crockett Cup-style tournament? given the sheer amount of top level teams you have in AEW plus Ring of Honor and CMLL and JPW. What do you think, Tony?
Okay, can you, just so I understand, can you read that one more time? I just want to make sure I get all
sure,
the,
you know,
different companies. I want to hear that one more time and make sure all the companies you said.
Yeah, he's asking if you've considered doing a Crockett Cup style tournament, given the sheer amount of top level teams that you have in AEW and Ring of Honor, the ones you partner with in CMLL and NJPW.
It's so cool that you asked that because, yes, I have been thinking a lot about having a big tag team tournament with teams throughout the world of wrestling. You mentioned we have a lot of great partner promotions with AEW working with great companies like CMLL and New Japan Pro Wrestling that have great teams of their own. But also, I think some of the best tag team wrestling right now is in Ring of Honor. And when you watch the Ring of Honor shows, I think that's something that really stands out. And people talk about identities. Well, I think there's a great identity in Ring of Honor. And three things that really stand out, you see a lot of that are featured very prominently, probably as prominently or more prominently than anywhere in the world of professional wrestling, are women's wrestling, pure wrestling, and tag team wrestling. And there's a lot of it, and a lot of great tag teams we're building, teams that are featured in AEW and some that we're building up to be featured more in AEW, or some that haven't come on to the show at all yet. But I think there's a lot of great tag teams there. And certainly in AEW, we have so many of the greatest tag teams of all time right now. So with great teams in AEW, including what we've got to look forward to this weekend with Kope and Christian versus the Death Riders, Claudio and Pac, and having the Death Riders of Mox and Ospreay, who, again, I feel have looked tremendous as a tag team in AEW in recent weeks, wrestling what might be the greatest team of all time, the Young Bucks, and knowing we have other great teams in AEW, including one of the greatest tag teams of all time, like FTR, and so many great young and upcoming teams that you can see on Dynamite and Collision and in ROH, plus through our partnerships in Mexico with CMLL, with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and our other international partners. Yes, I think that's a great thought, and it's something I have considered and also would like to do as we continue building up more women's tag teams and developing women's tag teams in AEW and ROH to try to get that same depth, hopefully there too. And I really enjoyed the match with the Divine Dominion and the Sisters of Sin. And I thought that was a great hardcore fight on what was, in my own personal opinion, an excellent Wednesday Night Dynamite go-home show ahead of Redemption last night. And I think there are a lot of great tag teams, women and men, and certainly with the depth, yes. I mean, we have arguably dozens of very good men's tag teams right now throughout AEW, ROH, and our partnerships. And I also think there are a growing number of women's tag teams. And my goal is to keep building that up. And certainly ROH is where we have a lot of these tremendous tag teams building, including women and a lot of men, veteran tag teams, and also young tag teams. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bill. And I think we've got just time now for John Alba. We've had a great turnout today. Thank you everyone for joining. From John Alba from the Takedown of SI on SI is next, and then we'll probably complete it after that, Tony, when they have closing thoughts. John, are you there?
Yes, thank you for again my question. I appreciate it, guys. Tony, great to chat as always. I when I heard the Redemption name for the pay-per-view, I was thinking a lot about the promo between Kenny and Ospreay, which I believe was after Dynasty, where they kind of put faith in one another. And I was saying to myself, well, man, this would make so much sense for a Kenny Redemption story to go down at this pay-per-view in Canada. TSN published that promo that may have been filmed beforehand that mentioned that Kenny would be going for the title in Canada. But then, as we know, he'd win it a few weeks earlier. Was the original intention to run the match in Canada? And if so, what changed in that equation?
Well, it's a very fair question you're asking. I do have to keep some sleight of hand in these things. I think we're on a really tremendous run. And it's a completely valid point you're making. and without directly saying what the order has always been or what the plans have been, I think that we've made the right moves, and certainly the company's in an incredibly strong position at a really important time in the wrestling landscape. I've been very transparent that I'm very excited about the impending merger that I expect will happen with Warner Brothers and Paramount. I think this is going to be a tremendous thing for the people who work here overall, and I think it's going to create more opportunities for the combined company to compete in the streaming landscape. And it takes two tremendous studios, and they will continue to operate with the strength of two studios and have two challenger brands in streaming that will come together and form a top competitor. And that's the important thing. In no way will this resemble a monopoly, but it will be a truly competitive company that has a very good fighting chance with the people under one roof working for David Ellison, in my opinion. And I'm excited to go be one of those people, as I expect will when this thing goes through. And it's been a very exciting time for AEW. And to be able to go to our bosses at such a pivotal time in wrestling, with the AEW viewership being the highest it's been in years, over multiple weeks, and have these trends in the big data era to be showing these kinds of numbers and to be such a strong competitor in the landscape of television professional wrestling is very, very important. At the same time, the pay-per-views are a very important piece of this equation, and we've done very, very well. And since we started on pay-per-view last year, our biggest pay-per-view numbers have been the recent pay-per-views, with Double or Nothing a couple months ago was the biggest one we'd had yet on a streak of our biggest pay-per-views. And Forbidden Door has significantly outperformed a lot of the events from last year. And I think relative to past Forbidden Doors will be a very strong performer. And then when you look at having the best Double or Nothing in many ways ever, and not only what I think was the best wrestling show in my own opinion, but also the highest live gate ever for AEW for Double or Nothing, and these incredible pay-per-view numbers, our best numbers yet on HBO Max and some of our best pay-per-views ever. And all this is happening while we're driving our TV viewership. And I think it's been the right time to drive TV viewership. I was so proud that Beach Break was the most watched AEW TV show on TBS in 2 years. And 2 years ago, we did not have this very important piece that we added last year in 2025 with HBO Max and this streaming component that's so important for the future of AEW, while TBS and TNT continue to be a lifeblood for us, and places in TBS and TNT that have been great homes to professional wrestling for the better part of 50 years. And I am very proud to continue to carry those traditions with Wednesdays on TBS and Saturdays on TNT. I think that was incredible to have Beach Break with Kenny Omega versus MJF be the most watched AEW TV show in years, and then to follow it up last week and have even higher viewership. It's very exciting. And I know that we're going to have a big summer with Redemption this Sunday and with AEW All in London. And then to see the quality of the TV and the pay-per-views, and know the pay-per-views have been performing really well, and now the TV is the hottest it's been in years, I think that the moves we've made have been the right moves. So that's probably, again, going back to what I said at the beginning, that's a lot of information along the lines of what you were looking for, even if it's not the exact information you were looking for. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Tony, we got an hour of your time there. Any closing thoughts?
Well, it was great. I appreciate you hosting it, Jim and Robin. And I really appreciate all of you who came out today to ask questions and be a part of this. Hopefully I got to answer all the questions, or almost all the questions. And if there's anybody that was here that did not get to ask a question, I'll hopefully see you at Redemption or at one of the upcoming pay-per-views. I always do these media calls and try to answer everything we can in the hour, but also I don't really put a time limit on the post pay-per-view media scrums. If people come to the pay-per-view in person, I always want to make sure they get the value out of their trip and get to ask me some questions if they have anything they do want to ask about AEW. I really appreciate you all being here, and I'm very much looking forward to AEW Redemption this Sunday. It's the first ever AEW Redemption, but AEW's been around for many years, and a lot of you on this call have been covering AEW since the very beginning now for over 7 years, and I very much appreciate it, and hopefully see a lot of you at the show, and I hope that all of you enjoy the show, and look forward to your coverage. I appreciate your fair coverage, all of you, and thank you for coming to ask questions about the show today and talking about wrestling and continuing the conversations. And, you know, it's very, very important, the work that you all do. And I appreciate you. Thank you for doing this today. And Jim, thanks for hosting a great conference.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Tony, you may have quite a scrum on Sunday night, because we had quite a lineup here. Great turnout for this press conference that you just conducted, and we were not able to get to everybody. So to everybody who joined us today, real profound thanks. We are now at the end of our time, but, you know, per custom, we're going to be distributing an audio recording of this to all the attendees here shortly. And also, as you know, we do, we want to give you the most, our deepest appreciation and thanks for all you do for AEW and professional wrestling. You're all part of the industry, and we're very grateful, and we look forward to seeing you in Montreal on Sunday night. Thank you very much.